Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Tshuva Lakol podcast, the podcast that aims to help each of us improve our tshuva efforts during the Yamim Noraim season by focusing on one or two entries from the Vidui. Ashamnu, we have become guilty. We have sinned against God and have devastated our own spirituality. Not only have we become guilty by sinning against God, we have brought spiritual desolation upon ourselves from the word shimama, which means desolation. Perhaps we did not mean to rebel against God, but we often sinned intentionally for profit or enjoyment. But God knew. We have betrayed. We have been ungrateful and disloyal. We have been ungrateful and traitorous from the term bogeid, which means a traitor, to those who have helped us. We have betrayed our loved ones. By violating the mitzvos, we have been disloyal to God who gives us life and sustenance. Ashamnu, bagadnu. We have become guilty. We have betrayed. Gazalnu. We have robbed. We have stolen property and not fulfilled personal responsibilities. In addition to taking and enjoying other people's property without payment, we have taken all sorts of things to which we are not entitled. We enjoy God's earth without blessing or obeying Him. We do not fulfill our obligations to other people. We take advantage of other people's ignorance or trust. We rob people of their privacy. We rob the poor and defenseless of their dignity. Dibarnu dofi, we have spoken slander. We have carried tales and been hypocritical. We have slandered God by questioning His justice and His kindness. And we have discredited our fellow human beings both through speaking falsehood and through publicizing their mistakes. We have been hypocritical from du fi, which means two mouths, by saying one thing and thinking another, and by speaking of people behind their backs. Gazalnu, dibarnu dofi. We have robbed, we have spoken slander. He'evinu, we have caused perversion. We have corrupted good people and good value systems. By our words and deeds, we have influenced people to lower their standards of conduct, to change from idealists to cynics, from generous people to selfish ones. And by sinning habitually, we have transformed the derech yishara, the straight way of life, into something crooked and perverse. Vihir shanu, we have caused wickedness. We have caused others to commit sins. We have influenced people to act in an evil manner. The term resha, wickedness, applies to deed as opposed to thought, to sins committed with premeditation rather than to sins committed by someone overcome with sudden desire. He'evinu vihir shanu, we have caused perversion, we have caused wickedness. He'evinu, we have caused perversion. We have corrupted good people and good value systems. By our words and deeds, we have influenced people to lower their standards of conduct, to change from idealists to cynics, from generous people to selfish ones. And by sinning habitually, we have transformed the derech yishara, the straight way of life, into something crooked and perverse. Vihir shanu, we have caused wickedness. We have caused others to commit sins. We have influenced people to act in an evil manner. The term resha, wickedness, applies to deed as opposed to thought, to sins committed with premeditation rather than to sins committed by someone overcome with sudden desire. He'evinu vihirshanu. We have caused perversion. We have caused wickedness. Zadnu. We have sinned willfully. We've compounded our sins by justifying them. Not only have we sinned intentionally, we've even devised arguments and philosophies to justify ourselves. The word zadnu implies a worse degree of intentional sin than the previous, resha, wickedness, because someone who justifies his misdeeds is surely more apt to sin again and to drag others down with him. Chamasnu, we have extorted. We have taken advantage of the poor and the weak. The term chamas includes several sins. In the common Talmudic definition, it refers to extortion, in which someone forces or intimidates a person to sell something against his will. This is forbidden in the Ten Commandments by Lo Tachmot, you shall not covet. Noah's generation was condemned because of chamas, for it created a society that victimized the poor and defenseless. Also, chamas denotes wrongdoing against which there is no legal recourse, such as stealing trivial amounts, pachot mishava pruta, less than the nominal amount. Such, quote-unquote, trivial crimes indicate a breakdown of ethics and fair play. Zadnu, chamasnu. We have sinned willfully. We have extorted. Tafalnu sheker. We have accused falsely. We have brought falsehood into our everyday lives. Literally, the phrase means we have attached falsehood, and it implies that we have falsely slurred other people and that we have piled lie upon lie to reinforce falsehood. Ya'atsnu ra. We have given evil counsel. We have abused the trust of others by giving bad advice. We have knowingly advised others to do things that are not in their best interest or that are sinful. We have not cared enough about others to take their problems seriously. We have abused the trust of people by giving them advice that was to our benefit, but that was harmful to them. Tafalnu sheker, ya'atsnu ra. We have accused falsely. We have given evil counsel. Kizavnu. We have been deceitful. We have made intentionally misleading statements. We have made false promises and have made little effort to keep sincere promises. What is worse, we have excused our behavior by saying that people do not expect others to keep their word. Thus, we have made our world a place of lies, even though the sages teach that liars cannot receive God's presence. That's Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Latznu, we have scorned. We've made a mockery of serious matters. We've joked about serious matters. We've ridiculed honest and dedicated people. We've tried to find a springboard for humor in every topic. By doing so, we made our repentance very difficult, both for ourselves and the people entertained by our witticisms. For as the sages taught, one jest can repulse 100 admonitions. Kizavnu, latsnu. We have been deceitful, we have scorned. Maradnu, we've rebelled. We've demonstrated our defiance of God's will. We've recognized our master, but purposely defied him. We've refused to obey a law of the Torah or Talmud because it does not fit into our personal concept of justice or morality. This is the worst form of sin, for it cannot be blamed on error, passion, or fear, but is performed to demonstrate that the perpetrator does not believe in God, chas v'shalom, God forbid. Niyatznu, we have provoked. We have angered God. We have angered God by showing disrespect for him. As the sages put it, one who steals food and makes a blessing over it provokes God. How dare one bless God or perform mitzvos with objects or money acquired by flouting his will? Maradnu, niyatznu. We have rebelled, we have provoked. Sararnu, we have turned away. We have ignored our responsibilities. We have become indifferent to the service of God, an attitude reflected in a failure to perform mitzvot aseh, positive commandments, and in a lack of serious thought about what the Torah demands of us. Instead of using comfort and prosperity to serve God better, we have allowed them to make us complacent and overconfident. Avinu, we have been perverse. We have sinned because of perverted reasoning. We have sinned because of intellectual perversion, meaning that we exchanged simple honesty for a corrupt reasoning that romanticizes immorality and justifies dishonesty. Furthermore, our speech and attitudes have become brazen and rude. Sararnu avinu. We have turned away. We have been perverse. Pashanu. We have acted wantonly. We have denied the validity of some or all mitzvos. We have sinned because we do not believe in the Torah or in the validity of a particular commandment. Though very grave, this sin is not quite as serious as the brazenness of Maradnu, we have rebelled. On the other hand, this is more serious than Avinu, which refers to sins caused by faulty reasoning. Tzararnu, we have persecuted. We've caused others to suffer. We've caused others to suffer or feel discomfort. We've done things that will limit people's ability to act and thus force them to do things that may not be in their own best interest. The root of such activity is that we're callous to other people, so we do not mind hurting them. Also, we have done things or made commitments that force us into courses of action that harm us spiritually. Pashanu, tzararnu. We've acted wantonly. We have persecuted. Kishinu oref. We have been obstinate. We have refused to see God's hand in life. Instead of recognizing that illness, pain, financial reverses, and the like are messages to repent, we stubbornly refuse to change our ways. We have attributed all difficulties not to our sins, but to chance. Rashanu. We have been wicked. We have committed sins that stamp us as wicked. We have committed acts that, according to the Torah, attest that our nature is wicked, such as raising our hands to strike others, stealing, and making plans to sin. Kishinu oref, rashanu. We have been obstinate. We have been wicked. Shichatnu. We have corrupted. We have committed sins that corrupt our character. We have committed sins that are tantamount to idolatry, such as arrogance, extreme anger, and apathy toward charitable causes, and sins that are related to sexual immorality, such as vulgarity and eroticism. Such sins corrupt a person's character. Tiavnu, we have been abominable. We have become loathsome. Our actions have degraded us to the point where, in God's eyes, we have become disgusting and loathsome. Shichatnu, tiavnu, we have corrupted, we have been abominable. Ta'inu, we have strayed. Instead of being close to God, we have strayed far from him. As a result of our misdeeds, we have drifted further and further from God's path. Once we condition ourselves to such courses of action, it becomes infinitely harder to repent, and we have only ourselves to blame. Titonu, you have let us go astray. As a result of our sins, God has let us drift away. We have abused the gift of freedom of choice. We have strayed and have drawn others with us. As a result, God has treated us measure for measure. Since we strayed from his path, he did nothing to stop us. Ta'inu, Titonu, we have strayed, you have let us go astray. Al-Chit Shechatanu Lefanecha Be'ones Uveratzon, for the sin that we have sinned before you, under duress and willingly. We have said we had no choice but to sin, and we sin willingly because we could not resist temptation. Under duress, often we sin because we put ourselves into a predicament where we rationalize that we have no choice but to sin. For example, if we're afraid that we may lose our jobs or customers, we may permit ourselves to do things that we know to be wrong and would not condone in others. Nevertheless, cases of genuine life-threatening duress override the Torah's commandments. However, there are exceptions. If a sin would cause a public desecration of God's name, it is forbidden to perform it even under the most extreme physical duress. Likewise, there are three cardinal sins, idolatry, immorality, and murder, forbidden in all cases. And he points to the Rambam in the Hilchot Yisodei Atshuva Perek Hey, Halachot Aleph through Gimel as a source for that. Willingly, we have sinned simply because we wanted to indulge a pleasure. How often have we condoned a misdeed simply because we wanted to please someone or to enjoy an experience? Such desire is one of the main causes of sin. Al-chit shechatan al-fanecha be'ones uveratzon. And for the sin that we sinned before you, under duress and willingly. Vi'al-chit shechatan al-fanecha be'imutz halev. And for the sin that we have sinned before you, through hardness of the heart. We've refused to admit that we might be wrong. We have had the attitude of, I'm always right. Such arrogance gives birth to stubbornness in refusing to admit our shortcomings and to the lack of compassion for the needs of the poor and the infirm. God gave us free will so that we can make intelligent choices, not so that we should refuse to see the truth. Achit shechatan lefanecha bivli da'at, for the sin that we have sinned before you without knowledge. We have sinned through ignorance. We have failed to think carefully or learn enough. Failure to study the Torah leads inevitably to sin, and lack of insight or information causes people to misjudge situations. Self-imposed ignorance is no excuse. Ve'achit shechatan lefanecha bi'imut saliv, and for the sin that we have sinned before you through hardness of the heart, achit shechatan lefanecha bivlidat, for the sin that we have sinned before you without knowledge. Ve'achit shechatan lefanecha bivitoy svatayim, and for the sin that we have sinned before you with the utterance of the lips. We were too quick to promise or speak. We've uttered vows and oaths, although the sages teach that it is best to avoid such utterances, even if they will be kept. We've expressed ourselves harshly against our fellows, hurting or shaming them. And when we were dissatisfied with events, we even expressed complaints against God. We have sinned because of hasty promises. We have made promises that we cannot possibly keep. And we have made rash statements and then felt compelled to justify them or to act upon them. And for the sin that we sinned before you with the utterance of the lips. Al-chit shechatanu lefanecha bigaloi uvasatzer, for the sin that we have sinned before you, in public or in private. Sometimes we meant to be noticed, sometimes we thought no one knows. In public. A public sin is serious not only because of the act, but because it can desecrate God's name, what we call a chilul Hashem, in the eyes of onlookers. We do foolish or sinful things to attract attention and approval. In private. A private sin, on the other hand, is contemptible because the perpetrator seems to fear human disapproval more than he does God's anger. We've reassured ourselves that since no one sees, we are free to sin. Achit shechatan lefanecha bigaloi vasater, for the sin that we have sinned before you in public or in private. V'alchit shechatan lefanecha bigiloi arayot, and for the sin that we have sinned before you through immorality. We've aroused ourselves to commit immoral acts. This includes a wide variety of sins regarding sexual relationships and immorality. Ruling in such matters if one is not halakhically qualified, coming into physical contact, even casual, that may incite lust, viewing people or literature that may incite desire. We are stimulated to deeds by the enjoyment we find in immoral literature, pictures, or conversation, and we contaminate our minds with the immoral fantasies that are glorified by much of our so-called cultured society. For the sin that we have sinned before you through harsh speech. We have spoken too harshly. We have caused sin by expressing ourselves too forcefully, thus hurting others or provoking them to anger. The term dibor connotes a harsh expression. This also includes all abuse of the divine gift of the intelligent speech, many of which are enumerated specifically, such as vulgar speech, lying, speaking improperly in the synagogue, violating confidences, and discussing business affairs on the Sabbath. And for the sin that we have sinned before you through immorality, and for the sin that we have sinned before you through harsh speech. And for the sin that we have sinned before you with knowledge and with deceit. We have misused knowledge and have deceived others. We have used our knowledge for the bad instead of the good. For example, the God-fearing person uses his knowledge of civil law to avoid any possibility of cheating others. The dishonest person uses his knowledge to circumvent the law so that his victims have no recourse. Tragically, we may have used our Torah knowledge to twist the halacha and take advantage of the less knowledgeable. Not only have we deceived others, we have deluded ourselves, and self-deception causes people to fall into the most dangerous traps. For the sin that we have sinned before you through inner thoughts, we have fantasized about sins we wish we could commit. We've indulged in fantasies of sins we would like to commit, if we could and if no one would know. Such fantasizing is the root of transgression. In a way, this is even worse than the act, because our imagination becomes preoccupied with sin, interfering with our learning and prayer and altering our goals. Also included in this category are thoughts that derogate the dignity or authority of Torah sages. And for the sin that we have sinned before you with knowledge and with deceit, for the sin that we have sinned before you through inner thoughts. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through wronging a neighbor, we have wronged those who trusted us. We've cheated and hurt the feelings of our fellow human beings. Friends are easy to deceive because they trust us. Thus, the advantage we take of friends is especially wrong. For the sin that we sinned before you through insincere confession, we have not taken repentance seriously. We confess our sins and beat our breasts, but we have no sincere desire to change. We make resolutions that do not come from the heart. We confess our sins with an outward display of feeling, but a lack of sincerity. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through wronging a neighbor, for the sin that we've sinned before you through insincere confession. And for the sin that we've sinned before you in a session of vice, we join discussions devoted to lewdness. We've joined gatherings devoted to discussions of intimacy and lewdness, the sort of illicit pleasures that people enjoy pursuing. For the sin that we've sinned before you, willfully and carelessly. We sinned intentionally and unintentionally, but unnecessarily. Even if a sin was committed unintentionally, it requires confession and repentance if it could have been avoided. Sometimes we sin out of wanton desire to demonstrate our independence or of authority. But even if it was not intentional, our careless attitude toward a particular forbidden act shows that we do not care enough about the one who forbade it. If we had not taken a sin lightly, we would have taken the necessary precautions to avoid it. And for the sin that we've sinned before you in a session of vice, for the sin that we've sinned before you willfully and carelessly. And for the sin that we have sinned before you by showing contempt for parents and teachers. We have not respected those who could guide us. This sin can be, and usually is, committed out of their range of hearing. By degrading our parents and teachers, we have damaged their prestige and authority. We have been guilty of causing a breakdown of tradition by having failed to respect the bearers of tradition. We complain about the shortcomings of the next generation, but we are responsible, at least in part, because our children have learned from us not to respect their elders. For the sin that we have sinned before you by exercising power, we have taken advantage of the weak. We have used physical, economic, or political power to intimidate the weak. Because we are arrogant, we have developed an exaggerated sense of our own power. This has caused us to take advantage of weaker people, thereby causing them untold suffering. And for the sin that we've sinned before you by showing contempt for parents and teachers, for the sin that we've sinned before you by exercising power. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through desecration of God's name. We ignore the fact that people judge God by the way we act. If we truly had an inner personal concern for the sanctification of God's name, we would never act in a way that could cause desecration of his name. The more distinguished the person and the more identifiable he is as a Torah Jew, the more careful he must be about the impression his behavior makes on others. Even Yom Kippur, repentance, and suffering do not fully atone for the grievous sin of desecrating the name. For the sin that we've sinned before you through foolish speech, we've indulged in idle chatter. Idle conversations often involve foolish chatter and broad, harmful statements based on lack of information. Compulsive chatter can have serious consequences. Service of God demands as much thought and planning as our personal or business affairs. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to chide that the first commandment is, don't be a fool. Many sins result from simple foolishness. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through desecration of God's name, for the sin that we've sinned before you through foolish speech. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through impure lips. We've contaminated our mouths with vulgar speech. We've used improper language. Because we fail to maintain dignity and self-respect, we do improper things. Vulgar language weakens self-discipline. For the sin that we've sinned before you with the evil inclination, we've incited our lusts and urges. We've often made the serious mistake of putting ourselves into situations that incite our base urges. Furthermore, instead of avoiding the evil inclination, we excuse our sins with the claim that the temptation was too strong for us. We have wronged people to their faces and behind their backs. We have embarrassed or harmed people to their faces, and we have hurt people secretly so that they suffer without knowing the cause. Sometimes we sin because we're ashamed not to conform to the behavior of people who know us. If they do it, what right have I to seem as though I am better than they? Conversely, sometimes we hide our deeds from good people because we would be ashamed to sin if they knew about it. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through impure lips, for the sin that we've sinned before you with the evil inclination, and for the sin that we've sinned before you against those who know and against those who do not know. For the sin that we've sinned before you by subservience through bribery. We've purchased favors and sold ourselves for money and honors. We display dishonesty not only by paying or accepting monetary bribes, but through flattery or hope of status. The latter is the most insidious kind of bribe, because we do not even realize how our decisions are corrupted by it. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through denial and false promises, we have not been honest. In our dealings with God and with our fellow men, we are guilty of both denial, which refers to lies about the past, and false promises, which refers to the future. For the sin that we've sinned before you through evil talk, we have spread gossip and slander. To defame others is a grievous sin, even if the stories are true. The sages condemn talebearers in very sharp terms, saying that gossiping is tantamount to denying God. The harm caused by gossip is incalculable. For example, by having described a person as extravagant or stingy, naive or conniving, we have created an image that will affect him socially and economically. For the sin that we've sinned before you by subservience through bribery, and for the sin that we've sinned before you through denial and false promises, for the sin that we've sinned before you through evil talk. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through scorning, we repulse attempts to improve us. We've greeted constructive criticism with scorn and ridicule. By resisting attempts to help us become better, we have little chance of improving ourselves. For the sin that we've sinned before you in commercial dealings, we have cheated and connived. We have violated the Torah's commands to be scrupulously honest in business with customers, competitors, and workers. We've been tempted to cheat by the competitive nature of business. Additionally, when we are successful in business, we often credit ourselves with superior intelligence or congratulate ourselves on hard work. This tends to lessen our trust in God, who is the source of our prosperity. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through scorning, and for the sin that we've sinned before you in commercial dealings. And for the sin that we've sinned before you with food and drink. We've eaten forbidden foods. We've been careless in observing the laws of kashrus. We have failed to wash our hands and make proper blessings. By indulging too much in gastronomic pleasure, we've incited the animal within us. It is human nature that lust runs away with us unless we hold it in check. For the sin that we've sinned before you through interest and extortion, we have profited from usury. Whether we have given or received interest, we have violated the Torah's prohibition. The fact that it is common business practice does not permit the forbidden. If we seek personal profit from another's need or misfortune, we become hard and callous. The Torah wants us to feel that someone else's need is ours as well, and we should feel responsible to help. And for the sin that we've sinned before you with food and drink, for the sin that we've sinned before you through interest and extortion. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through haughtiness, we've acted arrogantly. We have shown our arrogance through our body language, for example, with head held high, showing disdain for the person we have been asked to sit with, and God despises haughty people. What is more, our need to demonstrate superiority over others drives us to all sorts of evil practices. For the sin that we've sinned before you with prying eyes. We've been guiltful in gazing at forbidden things. We've been curious to see what does not concern us, especially to see things that incite lust. We've made eye contact with fellow sinners to indicate moral support for one another. By raised eyebrows or other eye motions, we have indicated a disapproval of someone, refining the art of character assassination without saying a word. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through haughtiness, for the sin that we've sinned before you with prying eyes. And for the sin that we've sinned before you with the idle chatter of our lips, we have prattled endlessly. We have failed to concentrate on what we say, so we've mouthed words of Torah and prayer without thinking what they mean. Moreover, we've been led to sin by a fear of silence. Most of us feel uncomfortable if no one has anything to say, so we have filled our time with all sorts of inane chatter and damaging gossip. For the sin that we've sinned before you with haughty eyes, we have been disdainful of others. By the look of disdain in our eyes, we've indicated an inner feeling of superiority that has led us to disregard the concerns and sensitivities of others. And for the sin that we've sinned before you with brazenness, we've lacked the Jewish attribute of shame. Not having shame and respect, there was little to deter us from sin. The Talmud teaches us that a sense of shame is an inherently Jewish characteristic, and it is a vital one because it prevents people from doing the wrong thing. And for the sin that we've sinned before you with the idle chatter of our lips, for the sin that we've sinned before you with haughty eyes, and for the sin that we've sinned before you with brazenness. For the sin that we've sinned before you in throwing off your yoke, we've failed to accept responsibility. We've thrown off the many responsibilities that are incumbent upon every Jew. The yoke of God's kingdom, of studying Torah, of improving ourselves, of helping others, of being a constructive part of the community. And for the sin that we've sinned before you in judgment, we've judged unfairly. As judges and witnesses, we've corrupted the decision-making process of courts and the settlement of disputes. We have judged God and found him guilty of not treating us as we think he should. We have not meant to be unfair to people, but we've been quick to condemn them on the basis of inadequate information. We've lacked good judgment and common sense in failing to judge people charitably. For the sin that we've sinned before you through entrapping a neighbor, we've taken advantage of our friends. We've sought ways to take advantage of another's weakness. We have manipulated people, and this is especially wrong when we do it to friends who have confidence in us. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through a begrudging eye, we've been jealous. We've been stingy and jealous, trying to find ways to free ourselves from giving charity, not being generous to others and resenting their success. We've been unwilling to do simple favors for others, especially when our missions would go unnoticed. For the sin that we've sinned before you in throwing off your yoke, and for the sin that we've sinned before you in judgment, for the sin that we've sinned before you through entrapping a neighbor, and for the sin that we've sinned before you through a begrudging eye. For the sin that we've sinned before you through lightheadedness. We've been frivolous. We have given way to frivolity and have not thought seriously about our responsibilities. We have not treated the synagogue and study hall with proper respect. And for the sin that we've sinned before you with obstinacy, we've become unreasonably stubborn. We've become single-minded and so lost our objectivity because we had a strong desire for something. We've refused to learn from experience and constructive criticism, and we have denied that obstacles and failures were God's veiled way to make us repent. For the sin that we've sinned before you with legs that run to do evil, we have hurried to commit sins. We've rushed with zeal and alacrity to do evil. It's bad enough that we often feel we must do the wrong thing, but why should we be enthusiastic about it? And for the sin that we've sinned before you by gossip mongering, we've turned people against one another. We've told people about the damaging and embarrassing things that other people say about them. We've caused hatred and argument by disclosing secrets and spreading stories. In particular, we've created hatred among former friends through gleeful remarks like, "Do you know what so-and-so said about you?" For the sin that we've sinned before you through lightheadedness, and for the sin that we've sinned before you with obstinacy, for the sin that we've sinned before you with legs that run to do evil, and for the sin that we've sinned before you by gossip mongering. For the sin that we've sinned before you through vain oath taking, we've sworn falsely and frivolously. We have shown disrespect for God's honor by using his name for false or trivial matters. The Torah's prohibition against oath-taking includes not only false oaths, but also unnecessary ones, such as swearing that a tree really is a tree, or by swearing to the truth of something in an ordinary conversation. The sages include four kinds of oaths in this category. A, swearing to something that is obvious, for example, swearing that a certain tree is a tree. B, denying the obvious, for example, swearing that a certain tree is a stone. C, swearing to violate a mitzvah. Or D, swearing to do the impossible. For the sin that we've sinned before you through baseless hatred. We've hated people on a personal level instead of disagreeing on issues. We've made the awful mistake of hating people rather than their evil deeds. Even when someone acts our wrong or go against our feelings, we should never feel hatred for the person. Baseless hatred caused the destruction of the Second Temple, even though the Jews of that period could not be considered wicked by the normal definition of the word. Continued hatred prolongs our current exile and is the source of countless conflicts and problems. For the sin that we've sinned before you in the matter of extending a hand, we've been callous to other people's needs. We've refused to lend money to those in need, and we have committed many other sins regarding monetary relationships, whether in business, in loans, in safeguarding someone else's property, or in partnerships, where we've attempted to deny something that was rightly due to another person. Another interpretation of this phrase is that we've joined hands with the wicked people. And for the sin that we've sinned before you through confusion of the heart, we've not seen God's hand in everyday events. We've allowed ourselves to be weakened in matters of faith. When troubles befall us, we wonder why, instead of understanding that God is showing us that we must improve ourselves. We've doubted the validity of the Torah, the authority of the sages, and the applicability of the halacha to modern times. For the sin that we've sinned before you through vain oath-taking, for the sin that we've sinned before you through baseless hatred, for the sin that we've sinned before you in the matter of extending a hand, and for the sin that we've sinned before you through the confusion of the heart. And for the sins for which we are obligated to bring an elevation offering. This offering is brought for sinful thoughts and for failure to perform positive commandments. For example, if one failed to eat matzah on Passover, failed to put on tefillin, or put on tefillin that did not conform to the halacha. And for the sins for which we are obligated to bring a sin offering. An act that would incur karet, spiritual excision, if it had been done intentionally, obligates one to bring a sin offering if it was done unintentionally but carelessly, meaning that it could have been avoided. Rambam lists 43 transgressions for which one is obligated to bring a sin offering. Among them are the careless, unintentional desecration of the Sabbath and Yom Kippur, eating chametz during Passover, and incest. And for the sins for which we are obligated to bring a variable offering. There are six sins for which the Torah specifies more expensive offerings for the wealthy than for the poor. Among them is the sin of falsely swearing to a court that one has no knowledge of a case in which his testimony is sought, and unintentionally swearing falsely regarding something that one did or plans to do. And for the sins for which we are obligated to bring an elevation offering, and for the sins for which we are obligated to bring a sin offering, and for the sins for which we are obligated to bring a variable offering. And for the sins for which we are obligated to bring a guilt offering for a definite or a possible sin. A guilt offering for a definite sin may be brought for any of five sins. Among them is swearing falsely that one does not have another's property in his possession and using the property of the sanctuary for one's own pleasure. A guilt offering for a possible sin is brought whenever there is a reasonable possibility, as opposed to definite evidence, that someone has become obligated to bring a chatat, a sin offering. And for the sins for which we incur lashes for rebelliousness. These lashes are imposed for the intentional violation of a rabbinic prohibition to coerce a recalcitrant to perform scripturally ordained positive commandments, and whenever the court deems it necessary to prevent widespread abuse of scriptural or rabbinic law. And for the sins for which we incur 40 lashes. The lashes, actually 39, are imposed by the Torah upon someone who violates a negative commandment by committing an action, despite a specific warning that the act is forbidden and punishable. Two valid witnesses must see the transgression and testify before the Beis Din, which has the sole authority to administer the penalty. Among such sins are eating forbidden foods and eating or working on Yom Kippur. A full list may be found in the Rambam in Hilchot Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Tet. And for the sins for which we are obligated to bring a guilt offering for a definite or a possible sin, and for the sins for which we incur lashes for rebelliousness, and for the sins for which we incur 40 lashes. And for the sins for which we incur the death penalty at the hands of the heavenly court. Rambam lists the sins that, if committed intentionally, incur the scriptural penalty of a shortened lifespan. These sins include the eating of truma by a non-kohen or by anyone in a state of tuma, ritual contamination, and the performance of the temple service while in a state of tuma. In various places, the Talmud records other sins that incur this punishment, including acts or words that disparage the teaching or authority of Torah authorities. And for the sins for which we incur spiritual excision and childlessness, 36 transgressions, if done intentionally, incur the penalty of the soul being cut off from its eternal bond with the Creator. This penalty can include a shortened lifespan and childlessness. Among these 36 transgressions are certain forbidden conjugal relationships, working on the Sabbath or on Yom Kippur, eating on Yom Kippur, failure to circumcise oneself, and eating chametz on Passover. And for the sins for which we incur the four death penalties of the human court, stoning, burning, beheading, and strangling. The seventh chapter of Sanhedrin discusses these most serious of all transgressions and the specific sins for which one incurs each of the four kinds of death penalties. It should be noted that in the absence of duly constituted courts since shortly before the destruction of the Second Temple, the corporal and capital punishments ordained by scriptural law cannot be imposed. However, God finds his own ways to exact punishment by seemingly natural means. Thus, one who is liable to death by strangling, for example, may die from a lack of oxygen or from breathing difficulties. And for the sins for which we incur the death penalty at the hands of the heavenly court, and for the sins for which we incur spiritual excision and childlessness, and for the sins for which we incur the four death penalties of the human court, stoning, burning, beheading, and strangling. That's it for today. Please take a moment to think about times when maybe you've fallen prey to the behavior that we discussed today. Can you think of specific examples? If so, take time to think about the damage that was done so that you can better feel genuine feelings of regret. Take time now or sometime today to articulate verbally what happened and how you regret that it happened. Is there someone with whom you need to make amends? Consider doing so. Consider reaching out and sharing with them what happened and how you regret that it happened. Ask for their forgiveness. How can you prevent these mistakes from happening again? What triggered this mistake? What can you do going forward to not let this behavior repeat itself? Spend some time today contemplating today's entries and have a meaningful and transformational day.